Welcome to Connections. It's Thursday. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore. And we have a great guest coming up in just a moment, Derek O'Brien from Peabody Essex Museum. He is he's here to tell us about some of their new offerings online. So we'll have the whole story. We have the links up on our post and so on. But Derek O'Brien will be joining us in just a moment. And joining us right now, Rick Moore. So, Rick, what a great Thursday this looks to be, huh?
Hey, Bill. Yeah, I think people are starting to feel a little better with the change in the weather. And, of course, Memorial Day weekend coming up Monday. Memorial Day is Monday, which I think is probably about the earliest it could be on the 25th. And so I think there's a little change in attitude, I'm hoping. But it feels good, and goodness gracious, the weather, it's spectacular.
Well, if this was a regular school year, this would be, well, not that Memorial Day ends school, but it doesn't, but you're right. So statistically, this is the latest or earliest Memorial Day can be, Rick, this year. Mm-hmm. And statistically, Labor Day is the latest that it can be if you look at the way the Mondays fall, because it's Monday holiday. So, and that's why some districts, I know, after what happened this past spring, are thinking of starting a little bit earlier in September. A lot of them already start before Labor Day anyway, but it'll be a late Labor Day this year. So that's enough. That's enough calendar talk, but, you know, a lot of folks.
Well, just one more thing. What you point out here is that for the rest of us, if Memorial Day is the beginning of summer and Labor Day is the end of it, then we've got the longest summer we can have.
Yeah, I guess you're right. The unofficial beginning and ending of summer. Sure enough. Fair enough. All right. Thanks for that. That's what I was trying to say all along. Yeah.
A nice pick me up. There we go.
There you go. Well, Rick will be back with us in just a moment. Just ahead, Derek O'Brien from Peabody Essex Museum here on this Thursday edition of Connections. Derek O'Brien is joining us from the Peabody Essex Museum. He is their chief marketing officer. And Derek, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Derek, the museum, and I understand under a lot of your leadership and work, is transforming during this time of obviously no visitors to doing a more online kind of opportunity for people that want to avail themselves of what the museum has to offer. Maybe you can tell me more about that.
Yeah, that's correct. We made the difficult decision to close the museum's doors back on March 12th. Once it became clear that we needed to protect the health of our visitors and staff, we decided to close the doors. It was a difficult decision. The Peabody Essex Museum, it's the oldest continuously operating museum in the country, and this is the first time in 221 years that we've had to close our doors. So definitely something we did not take lightly, but given the circumstances, we knew it had to be done. But yeah, the teams really pivoted quickly. We came together and really made the move to bring as much of our content online as we could. We knew that although visitors wouldn't be able to visit us in person, what could we do to give them somewhat of that experience online? So we started with the homepage of our website. We went on, and if you visited PEM.org before, you would see that we really highlighted what was happening at the museum at that time, what exhibitions were on view, how could you get there, what were our hours of operation. Being closed, that really wasn't providing value on our homepage. So we really took over that entire homepage to drive people to our collections. We've made an effort over the last year to bring some of those collection objects online. Basically, anything that you can see in the museum, you can access through our online portal. So we highlighted that. We're driving people to some of the content we were creating, our blog posts, our podcasts, art-making activities that we could do at home, partnering with our education and programming teams.
I know you mentioned this now a moment or two ago, but 221 years, 1799 is when it all started.
Correct.
For the Peabody Essex Museum. Unbelievable, yeah. And I noticed there's a maritime theme, obviously. There's that longstanding China theme as well with the museum that is available. And there's the life at sea piece as well. So, the new one, the American Struggle. Tell me about that exhibit. Can you tell me more about that one?
Yeah, Jacob Lawrence, the American Struggle. It was really unfortunate that we had to close when we did. That was a really popular exhibition. We've gotten a lot of questions about it as to whether or not it will still be available when we reopen. We're working through all of that now. But that did actually lead us to partner with Lightshed Photography out of Salem to do virtual tours of a lot of our gallery spaces. So working with them, we were able to go through and do a full 360 virtual tour of Jacob Lawrence, The American Struggle. That's all available on our website too. And as you mentioned, the Maritime Connection, in addition to do our rotating exhibitions, such as Jacob Lawrence, we also captured our Maritime Gallery, our Asian Art Gallery, and our Fashion and Design Gallery, which is all part of our new wing that opened last year.
Yeah. So let me throw a question at you here. So you're a parent with kids, and everyone's homeschooling now, if you so to speak.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so if I'm listening now, and there's a 10-year-old, a 15-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, or whatever, would you guide them to any particular piece on the website there or
Absolutely.
Exhibit?
I'll start with the younger kids, because that's what I'm working with at home. I have a 4-year-old and a 11-month-old. So my go-to has been pen pals. We had a preschool program that we had in the atrium of the museum every Wednesday. And we pivoted to make that a YouTube video, where Miss Bethany, she has been an absolute rock star, has been bringing pen pals to families through our YouTube channel. And that is storytelling, singing. My daughter walks around here weekly mimicking Miss Bethany. So anyone with preschool age children, I would highly recommend looking up pen pals on our YouTube channel. That has been my go-to. We did follow that up with a lot of our art making activities. So the activities that we were doing in the museum, arts and crafts, that has all been migrated to our YouTube channel as well. And that, that really runs a wide range of ages in there. For older groups, I would definitely check out the virtual tours. We're linking out from those constantly as we get new content added online. We will be driving to those, and that's a really good way to experience some of those galleries without being able to be there in person.
Now, does the museum say? Is there a thought process in the museum that says, "Wait, if we do all this online, why will anybody ever come back to the Peabody Essex Museum down the road?"
Yeah, it's interesting. We've been having a lot of conversation around that. And as much as I love those 360 tours, I was fortunate to be able to go into the galleries to help the photographer capture those. And there is really nothing like being in the gallery. We did as best we could to get as close to that experience as possible virtually, but there's really nothing that substitutes being there in person. I would say that looking through those, if you've never been to the museum before, it will give you an idea of what we're all about. But if you have visited in the past, seeing those really brings you back. The sights, the smells, the emotions that you feel going through there. It's just a reminder of what that's like in person and why these institutions are so important.
Yeah, that's a great point that you make. Now, Miss Bethany, tell me about her. She's an employee at the museum?
Yes, she works with our education team, and she has really pivoted well. She has been quite the YouTube sensation. I highly recommend. I won't spoil it for you, but if you go on and do a search, she has been amazing. And it's great to see how those videos have come along throughout the course of this, too. I don't believe we missed a single class. So we had, after we closed the following week, we had that first video up on YouTube. And I know just watching how that's evolved through the weeks, there's now a theme song, there's animations that have been added. So as we've been continuously adding to these, they've grown in quality as well.
Gotcha. Now, because I don't have the website up right now because we're doing this, the Zoom here, you and I are doing it, but if people are listening and they want to click on the website, even though we will have links, is there a couple of tabs that you might suggest, you know, go here, go there to follow up on some of this?
Yeah, if you just visit the main webpage, pem.org, we've really taken over that entire homepage to drive people to all of these activities that we're discussing now. So one of the initiatives that we're working on right now is our Little Green Thumbs project, which involves the Ropes Garden. And if you go to the website right now, that'll be the main module that you see, where we're encouraging Salem families to sign up for that project. Basically, what we're doing is families can go into Robes Garden. It's over an acre of space, so we can maintain safe social distancing. But working with our head gardener, families can go and basically own one of the garden beds and plant it to their own design and get a quick lesson on how to do garden planting.
Wow, that's great. All that's great stuff. Hey, I know you also, the museum was also involved with a fundraising on Giving Tuesday, which was now a couple of weeks ago, I guess now, but with the North Shore Medical Center, Salem Hospital, and so on. So, but you obviously are still looking for memberships and other things to help support what you're doing, because I would think the museum has taken a hit without being able to have, you know, people come through the museum as they might normally do, for sure.
Oh, that's absolutely correct. It's definitely difficult, and all museums are in a similar situation. So we wanted to do something that would not only sustain the museum, but also give back to the community. So leading up to that new day of giving, what we wanted to do is any donation that was made to the museum and any denomination, we would then in turn donate a membership to the medical workers at North Shore Medical Center. And we've extended that. Originally, we were going to do it the week leading up to the new Giving Tuesday, and we've decided to extend that. So we've continued to bring in the donations and memberships. And to date, last time I checked, we were a little over $70,000 and over 200 memberships.
That's great. That's fantastic. Well, Derek, is there anything else you want to share with us at all regarding the museum and the transition to be going more online during this time?
It's really been a fantastic opportunity. As museums, we've known that it's been important to be in this new digital space, and it's always been difficult to try to prioritize the in-person experience and also try to focus on that virtually. And although it's really been unfortunate we haven't been able to welcome visitors in, it has given us the opportunity to really showcase some of those programs online. Because even after we do reopen, unfortunately, there's always going to be instances where people can't come visit us in person, and it would be great to have some representation of the museum available for them digitally if they can't be there with us in person.
But I do think, and I'm not sure you were kind of saying this, is that down the road, there's nothing like the experience of being in the museum to see the objects, be able to move around at will through the exhibit and spend more time here and close up and so on that you might not be able to get capture, so to speak, with the virtual tours, as you were kind of pointing out. But yet they're great to be able to go back and take a look and be able to see some of the stuff that you do have there. And it's always changing, right, at the Peabody Essex Museum.
That's true. And we're going to continue to innovate. We're already planning on what exhibitions we're going to have for when we are able to open their doors. There's a lot of exciting stuff coming up and can't wait to share it with the public. We are really anxious to get back. I've loved the time that I've been able to spend with the family here, but I would love to be able to get back into the museum as soon as we can as well.
I'm sure there are a lot of people that would say exactly what you're saying as well, Derek. So, Derek, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for your time. And it looks great, all the stuff. And again, we'll have the links up on our website. But again, great work, and thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks, Bill. I appreciate it. Thank you again for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yep, Derek O'Brien, the Chief Marketing Officer from Peabody Essex Museum. A daily news podcast for the North Shore, North Shore Today, North Shore Sports Night, Monday nights at 7, as we keep you connected with the North Shore.
Well, we're back now, and I just want to mention, Bill, that Gloucester High School, we talked about it in North Shore Today this morning. There's an article on the front page, and you and I had talked about 1623 Studios. We interviewed Heather Atwood a couple of weeks ago about the great work that they're doing. Well, they're partnering up with Gloucester High School, and they're going to be presenting a video. A live in-person graduation has been postponed, but the video will be shown, I'm not sure where, on Friday, June 21, for graduates and families to watch something called a graduation celebration of the class of 2020. And I don't see where it says it's going to be, so you have to wait for more on that. But anyway, if you look at our news this morning, there are fewer COVID-19 stories than usual, I think. There's a little bit less emphasis on that. So for me, it's a little glimmer of optimism.
Well, you're right about that. The governor has stopped his daily press briefings now that, we are in phase one. Apparently, that's one of the what's one of the benefits of going into phase one. No more press briefings or whatever. I don't know. So, yeah, you know, you mentioned we just were talking with Derek O'Brien from PEM, PBD Essex Museum, about all their online offerings. You mentioned this thing about these graduations online, but I know this is a, you know, hopefully I hope this is a one-time thing, this pandemic, once in a lifetime anyway. And although there was a woman who was like 107 who went through both of the Spanish flu and this thing here too, back in from 1917 or whatever. So anyways, that's an aside. I get distracted. But I'm wondering if that's going to force more people to be online. In other words, not all of the older people in this country are online. They're not into the devices, but maybe this will spark a few people to go out and do that piece. I don't know, you know, moving forward.
I think it will. And I think the older people I know, and that's qualified.
It's all of us.
I'm up there. Yeah. But people even older than I am, I have seen them get into it and, you know, minimally, some a little deeper than others with music, but especially buying. They're enjoying the buying aspect of buying online and having stuff delivered right to your doorstep. So that combined with the Zoom meetings that people are now being introduced to, grandparents and great aunts and stuff like that, it is a way for people to connect across the country that maybe some of the baby boomers who are thinning out didn't know about.
Well, I'm going to change the topic just drastically here. I think we lost an iconic person in our American culture this past week when Eddie Haskell passed away, and he I guess was 76. He was on Leave It to Beaver show. Now, as a kid, I don't think I watched Leave It to Beaver too much, but I'm very familiar with the show. I watched it some of the time, but you know, it's funny in these old TV shows like Andy Griffith's show with Barney Fife, and you got this Eddie Haskell character. Steve Krause writes a column today in The Item about basically his headline. It's "We All Knew an Eddie Haskell." You know, and we tried to put some clips up on North Shore Today yesterday after he passed away. But it's Ken Osmond is his real name. Eddie Haskell is who he played, sweet mouth, if you will. Sidekick of Beaver's brother, Wally, that's right. And it was a simpler time. Man, the shows, all those old shows, it was about 2 months ago, Rick, I was on the flipping through the channels one Saturday afternoon, I think it was, and there's these, there's a channel that plays a lot of Westerns, you know, and so I watched, I watched the Bonanza of all things, which I used to watch as a kid, Bonanza.
Yep.
And I watched one of the other Westerns. I forgot which one it was. And, you know, they all have these moral messages that we don't necessarily have today. And Leave It to Beaver was always you don't steal, you got to be nice to people, all these different messages. And but yet, even with that, they had these great characters in these shows like Eddie Haskell or Barney Fife that are just that are just iconic, you know, characters in American culture.
Well, you mentioned everybody knew an Eddie Haskell. As teachers, everybody has an Eddie Haskell class. It doesn't matter what the level of class or what grade you're in. Everybody's got one of them. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned.
By the way, Rick, I wish I did have an Eddie Haskell in class. No, just go ahead. Yeah.
you mentioned Bonanza, which was a Sunday evening staple when I was way back. But the other one, and it wasn't so much a moral message, I think, but it was just a great study in character, was Gunsmoke with James Harness and that crew. And, you know, that was another staple where it was a simple show. They did simple storylines, but great character study in that. I don't think there was a lot of moral issues with that.
But, no, they had that. That was the one with Miss Kitty, right?
Miss Kitty and Doc, yeah, and Fester. Oh, yeah, Festus, not Fester. Festus. yeah, maybe it was Fester. I don't know. And who was Mr. Dillon? What was his the guy with the limp? Anyway,
no, I know who you're talking about. Dennis. It was Dennis Weaver.
Dennis Weaver's character. Yeah,
he later on lost that limp in his show Weaver or whatever.
Right.
That wasn't Weaver, but it was some other show. It was one of those shows.
Detective shows. Yeah.
Yeah. Cowboy detective,
in New York City.
Yeah, we have a good grasp. This is a well-rehearsed little segment, folks.
It'd be pretty obvious.
But Anyways, a little shout out to Eddie Haskell and boy, Mrs. Cleaver, you have that dress. You have a very nice dress, Mrs. Cleaver, today.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bill, I'm looking forward to. I've been kind of out of the loop here this week with other stuff going on, and tomorrow, Friday rather, hopefully, we'll have some more stuff. I'll be talking with Senator Tarr. You and I will be talking with Senator Tarr this week. We're going to go back up to Newburyport to check in with Joe DBA's about his program up there, his podcast that he does on the Newburyport Daily News. Looking forward to that and other stuff coming up. Check in with Salem Art Council and so on. So a lot going on, and doesn't it, I don't know, Bill, but to me it feels, maybe it's the weather, but also maybe because there is a little bit of good news now, it just feels like, you can breathe again. You can go outside and look around and say, okay, I can get out of the house. It just feels better for some reason.
Yeah, I think for us anyway, the weather will be key. It is key, and obviously it looks like it's going to be a great day today, the next few days, and the weekend is okay too, so that's nice. And and of course, Memorial Day weekend, it'll be different for a lot of folks. So, that's too bad. That is that's one thing that's definitely too bad, that a lot of these Memorial Day observations will not be taking place the way they would normally take place in the past. So that's too bad.
Yeah.
But.
Yep.
All right. It seems like there's one other thing I was going to mention to you, but yeah, we might have a surprise for our show for tomorrow for you. We're talking about a museum today. Just wait to see what we might have for you tomorrow on Connections.
All right.
So anyways, that's what we have for today. That's what we have for this week. And then before you know it, it will be the weekend. So that's good news too. All right, Richard. We'll talk to you again soon. Enjoy the day today. Put plenty of sunscreen on and all of that stuff.
All right, Bill. Thanks. Same to you.
And you look marvelous today, Rick. You really do. I don't know what you're doing, but you look marvelous. Okay.
Where till I get a haircut?
Yeah, there you go. Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks for joining us here today on Connections, and a special thanks to our guest, Derek O'Brien from the Peabody Essex Museum.